Hey, Meat.
Hey, Ronj.
What's up, you big goof?
You were going to say something else right there.
Well, I had to self-censor. I self-censored,
just
okay?
Say it.
No, I can't. I can't because then we'll all be off work. What are you doing, man? What are we fighting over?
We've got a pair of tickets to see Chris Young at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. I know one of your favorites. On Thursday, July 11th, with special guest Chris Jansen. For more information and to get your tickets, go to 101ESPN.com.
I interviewed Chris Young once, and I didn't know what I was supposed to ask him because I don't really – I'm sorry, I don't follow country music that much. And it was at a baseball stadium, and one of my questions was, so how do you feel about the fact there are two Chris Young baseball players and you?
Nice.
That was it. I forgot what he said.
He was my first professional interview with a radio station.
Is that right?
Yeah, for the Chase County Fair in Chase County, Nebraska.
He was a nice fella.
Yeah, he was cool.
That's what I remember.
We need to tease a mic drop as well, Ron.
Yeah.
We want to know from the people. Like, are you ready to move on from the Blues celebration yet? It just happened.
Right.
How long do you need to grasp onto this? Are we ready to move on to the Cardinals? Starting to turn the corner here? Or do you want to keep feeding the Blues love?
Look, part of this for me, and I don't know how you feel, Meat, but I'm having a very difficult time right now getting emotionally invested in the Cardinals. I can't stop thinking about what happened last week. I can't stop thinking about the parade. It still feels very fresh to me.
And it's not even like, oh, what do they do now?
The right.
offseason? Like that's. I just want to hear Brett Hull be drunk and just see. What's wrong with that? That's some soul,
dude.
Right
and I
there.
Could I could
Gosh.
Do this for another 2 weeks.
Let's do it. I'm
and
fine.
Be perfectly fine. But that's what we want to hear from you. So send us a mic drop. Are you ready to turn the page? You ready for Cardinals baseball? Are you invested, or are you still kind of feeling that pull, that draw to the Blues? That's where I am right now. And what are we fighting over today?
We just, Ron, do you listen to the show, Ron?
No, did we do that already? Oh, the Chris Young thing.
Hold on.
Right, well,
we're
it?
Fighting over a pair of tickets to see Chris Young at the Hollywood Casino
player?
Amphitheater. Ron's favorite.
Well, hold on, the outfielder
hey, Ron,
or the pitcher?
Did you know I interviewed this guy?
And so did I.
No way!
Yeah.
No way!
You guys ever seen the SNL sketch with Tom Hanks, and it was Mr. Short-Term Memory? No. From a long time ago,
no.
And he's in a diner, and he starts eating food, and he's chewing the food, and he goes, and he spits it out and says, oh my God, who put food in my mouth? That's what just happened to me.
Way to go, Ron.
But this is a special edition of The Fight. We are, Levi is our fighter for the afternoon, and Levi, how you doing, first of all?
Good, how are you guys doing?
Oh man, we're killing
great.
It. Mr. Forgetful over here, yeah. But we're doing great. I hope you are up on your Jamie Rivers trivia, because today you are fighting against Mr. Jamie Rivers, and all of the questions are about him.
This is the most unfair fight ever.
But he admittedly does not remember a lot of stuff.
He's a big dumb animal.
Yeah, so there's a chance for you, Levi, that you might be able to win this fight. How do you feel?
Pretty good.
Okay, so here we go now. Question number one in the Jamie Rivers edition of the 4 o'clock fight. Question number one, Jamie accomplished something fantastic by scoring a playoff goal. What team did he do it against? Was it the Coyotes, the Maple Leafs, or the Canadiens?
I'm going to go Coyotes.
Question number two, Jamie Rivers was taken 63rd overall in the 1993 NHL draft. Who did the Blues take ahead of him with the 37th overall pick in that 1993 draft? Was it Alexander Vasilevsky, Jamal Mayers, or Maxim Betts?
Mayers.
Question number three, what team did Jamie's first career goal come against? Was it Vancouver, Detroit, or San Jose?
I'm going to go with Detroit.
And question number four, Jamie played 184 career games with the St. Louis Blues. Besides the Blues, the most games that he played for one team was 75. What team was it? Was it the Red Wings, the Islanders, or the Bruins?
Islanders.
All right, let's bring in Jamie Rivers. How do you feel, Levi?
Not so good.
No. You know, I got to tell you, a couple of these, if this dude doesn't know the answers, this will be embarrassing.
Just look at him. You know he doesn't know the answers.
I'm back. All right. I know you guys are laughing. Yuckity, yuckity, yuck. Pick on the hungover guy. Yeah, yuckity, yuck. All right.
Oh, wait. Hold on a second. Is that a built-in excuse in case you lose this fight?
Of course.
Okay, right. All right.
Yes, we did, Holly.
Hey, at least you didn't puke inside your jersey.
That would have been legendary, though.
Or on the drivers of the car that you're in.
I don't care. Zach Sanford's a legend.
Are you ready to take on Levi, Jamie?
I'm ready. Let's go,
right.
Levi.
Question number one. You accomplished something fantastic by scoring a playoff goal. What team did you do it against? Do I give him the – he doesn't get the options,
no.
Right?
Yeah.
If I'm filling in for Randy Carricker, I want to try and be as smart as Randy Carricker. So
okay.
I get a lifeline, right?
You get one total.
Okay,
one.
But I don't need to miss one, meet.
Just one. I would hope not.
Don't get so hyper.
Oh.
Sweating
you,
in
you
the
better,
corner
you better
over there.
Calm down, Rivers.
My Lord.
Don't make me get out of the seat.
Oh.
It'll take
no, there's
a while.
No risk
don't
of that happening. Don't worry. All right, so what was that question again?
Who did you score your playoff goal against?
Phoenix Coyotes, Nikolai Habibulin, top cheese, please.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Okay, question number two. Jamie Rivers, he was taken 63rd overall in the 1993 NHL draft. Who did the Blues take 37th before him in that draft?
Was a good guy. Couldn't control his alcohol very well for a young man. But Maxim Betts. Was the draft pick ahead of me, which I couldn't believe they picked him ahead of me. But anyways.
Did not know that.
Did not know that.
Hey, I would have picked a different question.
Damn.
All right.
All right, question number three. Who did you score your first career goal against?
Good old stand-up goalie himself, Kirk McLean. And there's a great story that goes along with
that.
Of? Vancouver
team?
Canucks.
There you go.
All right, Jamie. 184 career games with the St. Louis Blues. Besides the Blues, the most games you played with one team was 75. What team was it?
This is one.
What an idiot.
Let's see here. I'm trying not to go lifelines on my own life, okay? Because that's kind of silly.
It would be kind of funny
right,
if you needed it, though.
I'm doing the process of elimination. It's actually... You know, it's probably the Detroit Red Wings. That's what I'm going to say.
All right. We have a winner.
Final answer.
Well, Levi, this was a lot closer than you might think.
Uh-oh.
Jamie beat you 3-2. So that means he missed a question about his own life.
I missed a question?
Yeah, you did.
Come on.
Yep.
Yeah, you did.
Which one?
We'll get to it in a second.
It was terrible now. It was the Phoenix Coyotes in 1999. Jamie scored a playoff goal in. Maxim Betts was the guy that the Blues took ahead of him, number 37 overall. You did score your first goal against Vancouver. It was the Islanders that you played 75
Wait,
games
are you
with.
Sure, Meat?
I'm sure.
Are you sure?
65
Jamie,
for Detroit.
I think I got that one right.
My God.
Levi got that one right, buddy.
Yep, 65 for Detroit, 64 for Boston,
oh, wow.
75 for the Islanders.
Maybe I should use a lifeline.
That's amazing.
I still would have got it wrong.
That's pretty awesome. Well, Levi, we're sorry. A valiant effort today. It shouldn't have been that close, but you did it. Thanks for playing this afternoon.
Hey, thanks, guys. Had a good time.
Thank you, Levi.
All right. Hey, man, that's awesome.
To tell you, the funny first goal story, I'll make it really fast because I know Mike Ryder gets touchy when it comes to time. So I just wanted to keep him on my side here. But earlier in that game, we were playing, it was the third period, and I believe it was a tie game.
Are you talking about your first goal or are you talking about the playoff goal?
My first regular season goal against the Vancouver Canucks, Kirk McLean, that whole thing. And I came around the net and I made a backhand pass through the middle of the ice, which you just don't do that. And Jimmy Roberts, who was our assistant coach at the time, I mean, I could just feel Jimmy's anger. Turns it over, they score a goal. It's 3-2. I'm like, ugh. So I get to the bench, and they're like, basically, I know I'm going to be strapped there for the rest of the game. Joel Quenneville's the head coach. He's mad. I think Jimmy's protecting me from Joel Quenneville at the time, and I'm just a young guy at the time. Fast forward a couple of minutes, and Jimmy goes down, talks to Joel Quenneville, comes back, and he grabs me by the scruff of the neck and yanks me back and says, you get one more shift. You better make it a good one. So I'm like, oh, my God. You know, so over the boards I go. Just happens that we're like a two-on-one or something coming the other way. I'm like, great. Two-on-one. Like, they're going to score again, and I'm on the ice. I get a piece of it. We head down the ice. Joe Murphy, blazing down the wing, pulls up, and I'm like, I'm going for it. I'm going for it. And I skate up to the blue line, pass it back to me. I shoot a one-timer from the blue line, beat Kirk McLean, score my very first ever NHL goal, totally redeeming myself for the giveaway earlier in the period. So probably saved my own life, and yeah.
Good job, buddy.
Thank you.
Oh, this is I think they're playing you off. I think that's what that is. And that's because we're running out of time.
What was I said? I'm not leaving.
We have a guest. You know, you made a mistake. You made up for it. Our next guest was driving Kelly Chase in the parade on Saturday, and he missed a turn. Chuck Steib was the driver of the car, of the truck, and he's with us next on 101 ESPN. That was Kelly Chase yesterday on the Fast Lane with Randy and me. It's Jamie Rivers and Ron G this afternoon. The Blues Championship Parade happened on Saturday, and our next guest on the Brown and Crouppen celebrity line is Chuck Steib, who was driving that truck that somehow got lost in the parade, and Chuck is with us right now on the Fast Lane. How you doing, Chuck?
Good. I'm doing great.
All right. Well, that is an amazing story. We love it. We think it is hysterical. Was it funny to you at the time?
Oh, it was. It was. We didn't get lost. We just got sort of misplaced.
Is that what they call it?
So how did it, what was going on there? Because usually you just follow the car that's in front of you if you're in a float.
Well, the parade was pretty spread out. We were in the first part of the parade. They had given very specific directions for the route of the parade, but the last thing they told us was be sure to follow the directions of the parade officials. We had Kelly Chase and a number of the alumni on the parade, along with John Hamm, and we had intended to go down to the Arch, but when we got down to Broadway and Market, the parade officials apparently didn't recognize who was on there, and hence directed us off the route and directed us to continue on down Broadway.
Hold on a second. Let me interject. So the parade officials saw a giant old fire truck and just thought, oh, that car's not supposed to be here.
Well, they knew that the players were all going down to the down to the Arch, but they apparently didn't recognize that we had alumni on the truck, and that's why they directed us down Broadway.
Oh, my God. All right, that's Chuck. Jamie Rivers here. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. I was riding in the float right in front of you guys. I could look back several times at Chaser and Brownie, Larry Patey, John Hamm. These guys are, you know, you guys kept ringing the horn or the siren for the fire truck. It was fantastic. All of a sudden, you guys are gone.
Oh, it was a good time. A whole lot of fun. There's no question about that. How can you not have fun with a team like that?
Okay, so then they had to help because there's not power steering on the truck. How did that go when everybody was trying to help get the thing turned around?
Well, it's a 1938 Boyer, of course, so it's 81 years old, and there's no power steering. The tires are huge, and so you don't just turn it around on a U-turn. You have to go forward, back up, go forward, back up. And so we had crowd participants clapping for us and yelling. They thought it was part of the parade, I think.
Now, I witnessed with my own eyes what type of shape that Kelly Chase was in on this particular day. Please tell me he didn't touch the wheel that day.
No, he was a passenger that day.
Whew, thank goodness.
Oh, so I'm looking at the vehicle right now. That's a good-looking car. That's a good-looking truck.
You.
I like that. So how long has that been in your possession? How did you get it?
Oh, I've had it for about 15 years. A friend of mine saw it up in Charleston, Illinois, and we went up and brought it back down here to St. Louis. It took us about 7 hours to drive it down from Charleston, if you know where Charleston, Illinois is.
And there's no cover on this thing, right?
There is not.
Okay.
The ultimate convertible.
Oh, wow. So how was that drive from Charleston?
We drove it down. The rain was about like it was 9 o'clock Saturday morning. Recall what the weather was.
Oh, no.
So driving down Highway 40, I think pelted is the verb that's appropriate.
Oh, wow.
It was a little wet driving down at 9 o'clock.
So now, Chuck, we've gone over the fact that the truck was maybe guided off into the wrong direction. Now, let's go back to the entire parade. As you're driving it leading up to our little mishap, how amazing was that parade to take in with your own eyes and then also be a part of and drive one of the floats or the trucks, whatever you call it, and be a part of it and be a part of St. Louis history?
Well, we've been in a number of parades, as you can imagine, 4th of July, St. Patrick's Day. This undoubtedly was the best parade we've ever been in. I've lived in St. Louis most of my life, and that parade and that celebration, I think, was the greatest event in St. Louis I've ever experienced. It was wholesome. It was fun. Everybody had a good time. It was just a real compliment to the city of St. Louis.
And so on your vehicle, you've got some blues royalty. You've got an actor who is incredibly well-known. Were you somebody who watched the show Mad Men?
Yes.
So having John Hamm up there, what was it like for you to have all those people on your truck? And these are some really well-known people.
Well, he's so personable, and so are the alumni, too. And so they came on the engine. They were just great, great passengers, and we had just a delightful time.
What was your favorite part of the day, the entire day?
Keeping that engine running, going in this parade.
Now, as you're going along with this truck, and you've got Kelly Chase and Jeff Brown and Blake Dunlop and Larry Patey in the back of your truck, let alone John Hamm, who's, you know, Mr. Hollywood himself, were you a hockey fan all these years? And if you were, do you remember these guys? And if you do, how much fun was that to hang out with them?
Oh, I'm a hockey fan. I went to school up in Minnesota, so I know a little bit about hockey. It was a great honor to celebrate with those guys.
So, Jana, I'm taking a look at the photo of this thing, and it's just a very cool vehicle this thing is. And I would encourage everybody to just Google a 1938 Boyer fire truck. It's a very cool thing. Or try to Google a picture of the float itself. What sort of upkeep does this thing need?
It's a constant work in progress. Our motto is we've never had a basement burn down on us. but it's a constant polishing brass, constant polishing the car. It's fun. It really is.
Where do you keep it?
I keep it in the garage out in West County.
Okay, because it's kind of big. I wouldn't imagine you could keep it wherever your house is. I'm not sure how many garages are this big.
Oh, it just takes one garage, but there's not much room on any side once you get it in the garage. It's a chore to get it in the garage.
Well, Chuck, I hope that we can have a Cardinals parade here in a few months, and that truck can be right back in it, and just follow the leader. Follow the car in front of you.
I will try to do that. I've learned.
Chuck, we appreciate your time this afternoon. Thanks for hanging out with us.
You're very welcome. Call anytime. Thanks.
That is Chuck Steib. He was the driver of the vehicle with John Hamm and Kelly Chase and others that got lost in the championship parade on Saturday, and he was very cool.
Yeah, he was awesome. I mean, you just, you know, an older gentleman, you know, he's been around a long time, beautiful truck, and he's been through all these other parades, and I'm going to blame Chaser. There's no way Chaser didn't tell him, take a right here. I know where I'm going. And there's no way. I'm going to blame Chaser. It's just easier.
Yeah, because you know Chuck's not drinking.
Well, no. No, Chuck sounded like he was very serious about this.
So. Yeah, so in looking at this vehicle, I'm trying to picture driving it from Charleston, Illinois, in a rainstorm. There is no cover. There's no cover on this thing.
It's wide open.
Yeah, that would not be fun at all.
It's an amazing truck, though.
Well, I'll tell you what. Good for Chuck. I'm glad he made it. I'm glad everybody made it safely. Saturday was such a fun day, and a lot of really cool stories like that. Sometimes the best stories are the mistakes, the stuff that's not supposed to happen. And that clearly was not supposed to happen, but I'm glad we have that story. And I know Chuck is glad to have that story as well. So things coming up here for the Blues. Are we doing mic drops next? Or are we going to? That's what we'll do. Let's listen into what the people have to say. Is the Blues season is over. The off season is beginning. The celebration is still going for the players. Is it still going for you? Or have you started to shift your attention to the Cardinals? Is your emotion with the Redbirds just yet? Me, I'm having a difficult time getting emotionally invested, if we're being perfectly honest. And I'm being honest with you. How do you feel? Send us your mic drop to the 101 ESPN app. Jamie Rivers, Chris Ronji, you are next on the Fast Lane, 101 ESPN. Technically, it is baseball season. It is June 18th, but for a lot of people, kind of including me, I'm still not over hockey season just yet. And we wanted to hear from you here on the Fast Lane, the mic drop feature on the 101 ESPN app, which you should have because you can listen to the show, you can catch the podcast, you can listen to the podcasted shows, and you can also send us mic drops. Jamie Rivers and Ronji are with you for the afternoon. Why is that funny?
That got confusing to me. You had show, podcast, post-catch. I was like, dry erase board. I had to start writing it down.
Yeah, there's so much on it. But it's
just
so,
download the app, people.
Yeah, and it's so easy to use, and that's what you should do.
It's actually easier than what Ronj just described.
That's right.
Okay,
it is super, super easy. So let's hear first from Philip.
I'll be ready to move on from the Blues winning the Cup when that parade in October comes around, when the Birdnals bring it home, baby.
Man, I'll tell you what, that's a high standard. So now the Blues have won the Cup. That means the Cardinals have to win the World Series in order for Philip to get involved.
That's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
It's tough. It's tough. I mean, you know, I would love to see it.
So would I. I look.
But you know what? Hey, it's just to pause on that thought.
Okay.
Because if we did the same thing here, if we think about the Blues halfway through the season, Cardinals halfway through the season, look what happened to the Blues.
Mm-hmm.
What could be for the Cardinals? Never know, Ronj. Half full.
Hey, today if you want to do glass half full, we can do that. Because
you might
be 100% right.
Or 100% wrong. It doesn't matter right now. The Blues just won the Cup. It doesn't matter right now.
What did you say?
The Blues just won the Cup.
I got to say, I'm going to ride this Blues celebration till at least the All-Star break. Maybe after the All-Star break, I'll start paying attention again. But, man, I am just loving all the images and video coming out of this celebration with the Blues. We went Blues!
See, that's so huge, because when do you get tired of this? I don't think you can ever really truly get tired of acknowledging the Blues Cup. First time it's ever happened in any of our lives. But I think at some point you probably feel like, all right, let's move on to the next thing. That's the past. Let's move on to the next. I am not there yet.
But yeah, well, when does that happen?
I don't know.
Because we have absolutely no reference point.
I know.
So it's like,
I know.
When do you move on? Maybe we never do. I don't know.
The Cardinals' results have been good. They've won 6 of 8. And it's almost like people have, they don't know it. You know, you're not aware of it because of what the Blues have done.
I think the Cardinals are okay with that. You know, there was a bit of a bumpy road there for a little while, and they're quite happy, I think, that the Blues were being successful. It was nice to pass that over. And now it looks like they're getting themselves in gear. So maybe timing's perfect. Never know.
Up next is Vincente.
Boy, it was exciting to watch the Blues and attend the parade, but the day after the parade, I went to the store and picked up a Street & Smith college football preview. Really excited for some Missouri Tiger football this year and see what Kelly Bryant can do on the field. Some great things to look forward to with the Cardinals, XFL coming to town, and always a lot of great events at the Enterprise Center. So, although I love the Blues, looking forward to even more great things in the rest of the city.
M-I-Z, Jamie.
Go Tigers.
He's into it. Great. All due respect to Mizzou, and I hope they have a great year, and I hope Kelly Bryant does have a great year as well. That wasn't even on my radar.
No, me too. That was, seriously, that was like a left hook out of somewhere, and it just about caved in the side of my face. I did not see it coming at all.
Let's hear from Hefe.
There is no way that I'm ready to stop enjoying this St. Louis Blues Stanley Cup victory. I'm still relishing in this. I've been waiting my whole life for it, so I'm not sure how long this is going to last, but it is. It's difficult right now to get into baseball. I'm ready to see the puck drop again. It's just been incredible, and for right now, it's all about the Blues for me, so let's go Blues!
The good news is, before this baseball season is over, the Blues will start playing again.
Yeah, but I'm sitting here listening to these, and I'm thinking to myself, it's kind of, not that I'm like a baseball nut, but we all love the Cardinals, but I find it more relaxing to take in the Cardinals now, to listen to their results, to watch what they're doing. It's almost a little more relaxing, like, oh, it's okay, the Cardinals are playing. Like, I feel at peace right now.
That's kind of how I feel, too. I can't, at this moment, I can't get too upset or excited about what the Cards are doing. And there's nothing against the Birds, nothing against them at all. It's just this Blues hangover for me is not over. It just isn't. I'm not there yet. And as I mentioned, the Blues are going to start playing games before the Cardinals season ends. September 15th, first preseason game.
Well, there you go again. That's the hockey ops and all the people, they're still hard at work. They got to get things organized already. It's craziness.
Our next guest, Jamie, is somebody who also worked very hard during this season, during the postgame and the pregame for the Blues on the radio side, Amy Markscores. She does terrific work, and she's with us next on the Fast Lane 101 ESPN. We're still celebrating a Blues Stanley Cup championship. Man, that is weird to say. It's still strange to me to say the Blues won the Stanley Cup. That's pretty great.
It's like really a great big dream.
It is, man. And I don't want it to end.
Doesn't so have we're, to.
You know what? Let's keep it going. Jamie Rivers, Chris Ronji on the Fast Lane. Randy is out. He's back tomorrow. BT's got the call on Cardinals baseball tonight and for the remainder of the week. And we are joined now on the Brown and Crouppen celebrity line by somebody who has done an excellent job covering the Blues on the radio side, doing pregame coverage, postgame coverage, a weekly show for KMOX, and she's with us now. Amy Markscores is joining us on the Fast Lane. Hello, Amy.
Hey, Ribs, Ron, longtime listener, first time caller.
Well, we're glad you're part of the thing now. I'm glad you're joining us. This is great. How are you feeling? I know you're not hungover, but how are you feeling?
I'm not hungover. I'm still on cloud nine. I mean, it's surreal. You wake up and you say to yourself, the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champion, and then you have to pinch yourself and make sure you're not dreaming.
Now, I am going to give you a lot of credit because I believe it was the Winnipeg series. I think it was when it was the hand pass game. And as soon as that happened and they lost because of that, I'm thinking back to all the teams in history that have had something just terrible happen to them, a blown call that cost them a game, the Cardinals in 85, even thinking of the freaking Cubs back in 03, the Bartman thing happened to them, which was hysterical, but whatever, not to them, I'm sure. But thinking about all these things, and they still had another game to overcome it. You know, they still had time to overcome it, but they just couldn't do it because of just what it feels like to lose a game in that manner. It's just devastating, right? And you said, you know what? This team has been resilient. They are going to win this series. And I'm telling you what, you were right. And I'm thinking to myself, Amy, you're nuts. But you were right. That actually happened.
Well, I appreciate it. I said it on the post game as well. As soon as I got up from the locker room and I joined the post game, I said, I'm telling you right now, the St. Louis Blues will win this series. And that really doesn't, I'm not really giving myself credit for that, because I think anybody who was in the locker room at that moment and could see the resolve and the equanimity that was just covering that locker room, especially David Perron. He said, we're over it. I mean, we were upset about the hand pass. I was upset about the hand pass, and the Blues had completely moved past it. And not only had they moved past it, but they were saying that game should never have gotten to overtime. We had a chance to close it out in regulation. We didn't. We're going to fix it. And lo and behold, the very next game, they held on to a one-goal lead in regulation.
So, Amy, quick question. We've talked several times throughout the season and when things were not looking great, and then now the turnaround to being Stanley Cup champions. Have you ever, ever had so many emotions regarding one season in your life?
I haven't. And I don't know that we'll ever have it again. Not only is it the Blues' first Stanley Cup championship, and you can only win your first cup once, but the way they did it, the way they plummeted to the bottom of the NHL standings, and it was Ryan O'Reilly who was doing chest compressions on this team to keep them alive when they were at the bottom of everything that you could think of with the National Hockey League, not just the standings, but the morale and the way people were talking about trading players, or do you disassemble the team, or do you lose for Hughes, and the way they fought back. And not only did they fight back, but for any team to win a Stanley Cup championship, you have to have several extraordinary outliers that complement a roster that is already a strong and talented roster. And when you look at Craig Berube's message and the way that coincided with the historic emergence of Jordan Binnington, that was the magic moment. That was the spark that lit the fire that never went out and that powered this team through the championship. And again, other extraordinary outliers like David Perron coming back and being the best version of himself, Ryan O'Reilly having a career year, Pat Maroon, just so many different narratives you can name.
This team is an outlier. The entire thing is, because no team has ever been, since 1968, has been where they were in January and come back and won the Stanley Cup. No team has ever done this before. And when they were talking about being fragile early in the year, they used that word. And they used words like getting outworked. How does a team go from that to this?
You know, again, I think you have to look at Craig Berube's message and the way it converged with Jordan Binnington's outstanding play, unsustainable play, that kicked off that 11-game winning streak. And what it did was it took Craig Berube's message and it gave the team success results to believe in that message. And really, I don't know how this team turns around if without Jordan Binnington, even with Craig Berube's message. Because if you follow the first 10 games, or excuse me, you follow the first few games of Craig Berube's tenure as head coach, and you break it into 10-game segments, he was already making steady improvements. But it was much slower, much more gradual. And you know what? Maybe the team runs out of real estate before they're able to turn it around in time for the playoffs. But when Jordan Binnington came, and then you have that 11-game winning streak, it was the success results that flipped a switch, and somehow all the bad mojo, as Alexander Steen likes to say, all the bad mojo was gone, and there was no turning back.
So, Amy, having covered hockey as long as you have, and I know interviewed several players along the years, what stood out to you about this Blues locker room once they started winning, once things started turning around? What's the one thing that stood out to you about things that they talked about or their overall attitude?
Yeah, I think that would be their composure and the way they just took things in stride. I've never seen a team that was able to maintain its calmness and composure even amidst the highest highs, like an 11-game winning streak, like winning Game 7 against the Dallas Stars, and then also to keep their composure after the hand pass. I would have to say that it galvanized the team the way they kept looking forward. They always say the strongest connections are not are the strongest. Oh no! Oops, sorry about that.
Are you okay? Are you being attacked? What is happening?
A police officer just walked up because he was parked next to me. He thought I was trapped in my car.
Just tell him it's okay. You're trapped by Ronge.
Trapped in your car?
The fast way. He's parked next to my car. He thought I was trapped. And I have no idea what I was saying.
Blink twice if you're okay, Amy.
What in the world?
I know.
Are you still at the parade, Amy? Is that the problem?
She's never left.
No, just because Brett Hull is in the seat next to me, everybody thinks there's trouble. But he's fine, officer. He's fine.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no, I did confirm that he was alive. I think we all did in the parade, though. I think that was something else. But I think I was talking about the composure of this team, which obviously is a quality I don't possess. They were able to handle themselves, and I think that's what it set them apart. I've never seen that in sports. Usually teams get upset. Usually they get excited or they get discouraged. And what unites people, and here's what I'm going to say, is it's not just the fact that you're united as a team, but it's that you're looking in the same direction and you're moving in the same direction. At the beginning of the year, you had, you know, the famous phrase of the individual contractors splaying out in all directions. But what Craig Berube was able to do was to get their focus on the same target, and they were all moving forward in unison in that same direction.
Amy, we appreciate your time this afternoon as much as we appreciate your coverage and to a great season and to you being right. You were so right in the end. We thank you today.
Oh, just doing what I can, Ron.
That's Amy Marks-Kors. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.
Amy on the radio side, pre- and post-game, all kinds of Blues coverage over the past several seasons. She is fantastic, Riv.
Yeah, she's done a fantastic job. She's great at what she does. And, yeah, she's been covering the Blues forever. I remember being interviewed by Amy Marks-Kors way back in the day at Hardy's Iceplex when we first opened that up as a practice facility. She was just
writing. I mean, yeah, she's just coming out there, right?
Yeah, and so she stuck with it and done some amazing things along the way, and not even a police officer knocking at her window phases her.
I felt a lot better finding out it was a policeman, you know? I was like, is she okay?
Can we send help from here?
Well, the help was there.
It was
supposed
there.
To be there.
There
I don't know what happened.
Perfect.
That's Amy Marks-Kors joining us. By the way, Meat says he knows the number for 911. Do you know that story?
He's got it on speed dial.
No. What happened was he was trying to dial 912 or was it 941 or 914, something like that. He was trying to call somebody, and he accidentally called 911, and then he hung up when he realized what he had done, and they called back. This happened last year. Poor Meat. He has all kinds of trouble.
I love it.
He's just trying to get through the day, man, and everybody's picking on him. So, speaking of Brett Hull, we talked about Hull just a moment ago. He impressed us over and over again. And even when Randy talked to him during the parade, that's next on the Fast Lane 101 ESPN.